Okay, Ray, Teresa's the first thing?
What's your first name? Yeah.
That one, I got it right. Okay, can you state your full name and your ABC number then?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay, that's, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Huh?
Miss, you're acting?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry if I put you in your name.
Oh, fine.
Okay.
Kind of hard.
Yes, can you state your complete name and your ABC number, please?
Excuse me?
Can you say your complete name and your ABC number for the record, please?
Yes, it's Teresa Sharon Oriarte, ABC 210462.
Thank you, ma'am. You're currently fully aware of how long the executive clemency and replicated community supervision ratification is happening. I'm going to list one member that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Lindsay Nelson, who's our acting board chair. We have the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead. Also, we're going to have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. Oh, and by the way, we've been having technical difficulties, so if at any time you can't understand what any of us are saying to you, please let us know so we can clarify things, okay?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to hear and understand.
Okay, well, that's one of the issues we've been running into, and we, you know, sometimes we can't understand you and back and forth. Usually, it's from the echoing and things.
Yes.
Mr. Neal, do you want to try going off microphone and going directly to the...
Ma'am?
Yes?
Is that any better? Can you hear me?
Yes, much better.
Oh, okay, yes. It's the echo. I think it's worse. I'm the closest to the speakerphones. I think it's the worst one I've talked to. Okay, well, but if you have any trouble understanding, please let us know, okay?
Okay,
all right. Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, ma'am?
Yes, the form I signed, whether to
wait
or...
Yes, yeah, you signed the form to appear in the hearing today?
Yes.
Okay. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, ma'am. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. In phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant. And after each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. If it's false, we'll get some more information from Mr. Westby, and then we'll continue, okay?
Okay.
Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about February 23rd, 2018, per the task lab report dated February 28, 2018. Is that true or false, ma'am?
That's true.
Allegation number two is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about March 6, 2018, as directed on March 5, 2018, if you were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, ma'am?
I was told when? Was it March 5th? It says that I was told?
Excuse me, you were directed on March 5th. March 5th? 5.
Well, I think it was like...
March 6th, 06. Okay. It says you were... It doesn't stipulate which one, but it says verbally or written directed on March 5 of 2018. To report for a face-to-face on March 6 of 2018, but you didn't do that.
I think it was the right date. It was later in March, but yes, it's true.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so based on the admissions of Ms. Duarte, on the file that she had moved, to find that she was delinquent as she violated terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have lapses or not the lapses in a criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Johnson, and agreed by Mr. Quinones. Okay, ma'am, we're going to move on to phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone and I'll be back with you in a minute.
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
On December 18th, 2017, Ms. Duarte was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested on April 4th, 2018 by Tempe PD and a new misdemeanor charge of shoplifting. She was back in DOC custody April 13th, 2018, and addressed at CUCD December 13th, 2018, 29 abscondings. Current conviction, 2014, assistant criminal syndicate, 2.5 years, 2014, money laundering, 5 years, 2014, fraudulent schemes, 5 years. She has prior convictions, 2006, fraudulent use of a credit card, 1 year, 2011, criminal possession of a forgery device, 1 year, 2011, drug paraphernalia, 1 year, 2011, fraudulent use of a credit card, 1 year. This is her fourth term in the Department of Corrections. Her CUIR score is 2.2, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2007, TIS release of Stoner, 50 days, arrested in California under the influence, revoked by the BOEC. 2012, TIS release completion, 4 months. Her disciplinary violations are minimal, other arrest. 2000, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2003, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. Her community risk score is in G5E4. I have status of charges from Senior Prosecutor Smith dated May 15th, 2018. It states, per the Tempe Municipal Court, staff the offender pled guilty to one misdemeanor count of shoplifting and received 1 day in jail with credit for time served.
Thanks, sir. Okay, ma'am, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision at this time. So when you were released, you were approved to reside at 961 West Frito Avenue in Mesa, Arizona. And that's the only address we have in there. Is that where you stayed the entire time you were out, ma'am?
Yes. I had another address, but my counselor said that I didn't need it, so she never put the second address down.
Okay.
But yes.
So what was or where or who lives at 961 West Frito?
My mom and my stepdad.
Okay, so you're with your mom.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Shows you that you're working at Wendy's?
Yes.
And CCO Medina's verified that. Oh, but then on the 5th of March he called and you hadn't showed up for about 2 weeks at work. So they decided they weren't going
The reason for that was I had to see my parole officer 2 days. I had let him know. So a parole officer also talked to him confirming that I was seeing her. That was my reason for missing work. So she called me in right before I had to go to work the next day for a swab. So I went. So when I called my boss, he said that I wasn't on the schedule for that week. But he would call and let me know. So I depended on his call. After maybe say the middle of the third week, I had called and he said, due to, because I stopped showing up. But, you know, what can I do?
Well, I'd say, I don't know, it says that on the 5th, and when CCO Gaddy was called, and the supervisor said that you hadn't reported work in almost 2 weeks, and that's when they decided that they were going to let you go. So why didn't you go to work?
Like I said, I had called him on the 3rd day, because I've seen his goodness for 2 days in a row, and he told me that I was not on the schedule for the rest of that week and the next, so that he would let me know. So I depended on that call. And when I called to check in, he said that he had let me go because I stopped showing up to work. So, okay. I mean, I only waited for his call because he told me he was going to let me know when he was going to put me on the schedule. That way I don't have to be calling you every day, you know?
Okay. So why didn't you go in and see your PO in March when he told you to come in on the 6th?
Well, there is no good excuse, I understand that. When I realized what day it was the 8th, and I just lost track of the days. When I realized it was the 8th, you know, I ended up getting a letter in the mail saying that I had a warrant. Well, of course, I panicked, and I didn't know what to do, and I was just afraid to contact her, you know, because...
Well, the letter suggested that you do contact them so you could get the warrant quashed. So you put it in, and it could be discussed, and, you know, and those offender reduction letters are very specific as to the fact there's warrant, but if you come in and talk to your PO, you can usually work it out and get the warrant quashed. And that's the opportunity I offer you, but you have to contact them. You can't run over that to you.
Right,
and it's
right.
Pretty specific in the letter. So.
By the time I got the letter, it was past the 2 weeks that it said, if you want to...
Okay, but a phone call could have explained that. I mean, I don't know why it took 2 weeks for you to get the letter.
Because my brother-in-law received a letter at his address, because I put them as an emergency contact. I didn't get it. If there was another letter, I didn't get it. He's the one that received the letter. He lives in San Juan Valley, and he brought it to me when he was in town. So when I read that saying I had 2 weeks, it was already past the 2 weeks as well. When I realized on the 8th that I had missed the report date, I panicked. I didn't know what to do. That's just, okay. You know, I get 4 years in here. You know, I have my little girl that are not even in school yet.
Okay.
So,
okay.
In my mind,
Mr. Westby's going to give us a little bit more information. Sir?
Yes, I just want to advise the board that there was a criminal entry here from Board Supervisor Oliveri on March 19th, 2018, that states that abscond reduction program letters were mailed to her address in Mesa and also to an address in Santan Valley that she had listed that was in Ames for a contact, which the abscond reduction program would quash any warrant if she reported it to the office. It's explained in the letter. And unfortunately, that was, she never reported after those letters were mailed to those residences.
Thanks, sir. And so according to the parole officer, was where those letters were sent to the address that you were supposed to be staying at with your mother, and the other one went to Santan Valley. So, okay, but, you know, so, but irregardless, I'm going to go ahead and see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination in a couple of minutes, but before that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement, give us any other information you think might be pertinent, but we ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us.
Okay. So a statement in my defense, correct?
Guys, you have an opportunity right now to give your final statement.
Okay. Well, I realize I made a mistake. I was very overwhelmed. And I realized that I messed up. But I would ask that you please be optimistic and give me another chance. That I know that it would benefit more to have the structure, even if I have to UA twice a week, if I just be given another chance. And that's all I could do is ask.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion now. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a decision. Stay on the phone. You can hear the whole conversation. We just ask you to remain silent while we're in discussion, okay?
Okay.
All right, the board is now in discussion. So this one is unfortunate in that Ms. Yarko made some poor choices in the way she handled things, and especially with the return of talking to the PO after missing the meeting. It's even with the reduction letter coming maybe after the 2 weeks, I'm sure if that would have been explained to Mr. Oliveri, the supervisor, something could have been worked out. But the abstain time is something that I have, I just can't overlook the fact that she was out of contact for almost a full month and no way to tell what might have been going on. So at this point, I'm not in favor of returning her to community supervision. And then there's some discussion from any of my fellow board members.
Thank you.
Okay. So based on all information in warrant number 2018W0677, Ms. Yarkton's testimony, the information from Department of Corrections, I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Ms. Yarkton as she was going to violate the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways or company, very specifically the abscam time when we have no way of knowing where she was at or what she was doing.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson, removed by Mr. Canonis. Yes, ma'am. The board has voted to revoke the community supervision at this time. We do suggest that you get whatever programming you can while you're in there. And one of the things that can be beneficial to people, they don't realize that if they don't have a substance abuse problem, but is the AA and the NA programs are very beneficial in helping you get your mindset so that you can go out and be successful and not get in trouble, you know, not be a repeat offender. It is a misdemeanor. You did get yourself in trouble shoplifting, and you did serve your time for it, but that's troublesome also. So, unless you have a question, okay, this will end your hearing then, ma'am, and would you please put the CO2 back on the phone?
Yes.
Thank you.